The Liberals signaled their intentions to continue working towards a national strategies for childcare, long-term care homes, a disability benefit program, and legislation for their goal of reaching net zero emissions by 2050. Tim Powers is a political commentator, managing director of Abacus Data, and a regular contributor to the VOCM Morning Show. He joins me live from Ottawa. Tim, good morning.
Now, Ben, I'm good this morning. I hear you're broken up, are you?
Yeah.
Had a bit of a disability benefit need yourself with your shoulder. What happened to you, young man?
Yeah, well, it's a long history of shoulder injuries. That goes back quite a ways, but...
But Ben's asking the questions.
I know. I like to throw him off, Jerry Lynn, by going at him first. Anyway, what can I answer for you this morning, Ben?
So, I guess, Tim, first off, your reaction to the promises made and the direction indicated yesterday.
Well, I guess if you look at the throne speech, through the lens that it is being examined in Canada as to whether or not there will be an election, the Liberals have probably done enough in the throne speech to avoid an election because they've put enough in there that likely, and I do use that caveat, the NDP will find a way to agree with them. The NDP have said, hey, we'd like the language in the throne speech, but we want to see, you know, that money for childcare, that money for PharmaCare, that money for the disability credit, and they've added two things. They say we want to find a way to make sure that CERB-like payments continue through the course of the pandemic, and two, that there is money in there for paid sick leave. So if you look at the throne speech through that lens, it is not an incendiary document that is likely to cause an election, although the Bloc and the Conservatives said they oppose it. We probably will find a way to get this document passed, and we will see over time, Ben, if some of those bigger promises about childcare, which, to be fair, historically Liberal governments have made since 1993, mm-hmm. will come to fruition.
Now, Tim, what is there for the residents of this province?
Well, I would, and I don't know if this is an omen or not, if it was meant to be clever or not, go to page 13 of the speech, Ben. Page 13 is, so specifically, this is where Newfoundland and Labrador gets referenced, and where there is some reference, and it will not be enough of a reference to our resource economy. So on page 13, two things I would point out to you. It says, additionally, the government will transform how we power our economy and communities by moving forward with the Green Clean Power Fund, including projects like the Atlantic Loop. So I'm talking to Seamus O'Regan later this morning when I'm guest hosting Open Line. I'm going to try and find out what that line means. Followed one sentence after that, it says, Canada cannot reach net zero without the know-how of the energy sector and innovative ideas of all Canadians, including people in places like British Columbia, Alberta, Saskatchewan, and Newfoundland and Labrador. No line in there that references the importance of the oil and gas industry and in Newfoundland and Labrador and the transformation and the investment that the people in the province have been arguing that they need. Those are the only somewhat direct or indirect references to the province in the throne speech. While not surprising, I suspect that will disappoint a number of people.
Yeah, and you brought up that Atlantic Loop, which I'm glad you brought that up, because that was something that did jump out to me there as well yesterday. And when you look at the little graphic that they did provide there as well, I mean, it starts from Muskrat Falls, loops around through all four Atlantic provinces, and comes back to Churchill Falls. So it'll be interesting to know what comes out of that with MP Seamus O'Regan this afternoon, because I think that caught the eye of quite a number of people. Now, Tim, you conducted a poll just before the speech from the throne. What did it show, and how could this speech from the throne change people's perspective of this governing the Liberals?
Well, the Liberals had continued the gap they had in the lead, albeit a small margin of error gap. So in our national Abacus poll, the Liberals were at 35% and the Conservatives were at 32% and the NDP were at 17%. The support for the government was, for the Prime Minister, was more positive than negative by 1%. I think there was a 3 or 4 percentage point gaps on approval of the government. But I think, Ben, you saw the government strategy last night, not just in the speech from the throne, but the Prime Minister's address to the nation. The Prime Minister, like other government leaders across the country, particularly here in Central Canada, are making the point, look, we are in the middle or the beginning of a second wave. We've got to keep our guard up against COVID. We have to do more than we did before. Could be worse in the fall than it was in the spring. And I think that the Prime Minister, through the throne speech, through his address last night, is trying to have Canadians focus on pandemic issues and pandemic management. Politically, that was a benefit to him before, so he seems to be going back there. So that narrative is something we should continue to look for coming out of the throne speech, coming out of the Prime Minister's address to the nation last night. I'd be negligent if I didn't say this. There's been different people who've offered very positive comments on the throne speech. Federation of Canadian Municipalities, say they've been supportive of it. They like what they see in there. They want to see dollars. The Canadian Federation of Independent Business, not known as a fan of the government and critical of the government before and during the early days of the pandemic, has said they like what they saw in the throne speech around the extension of the Canada Emergency Wage Subsidy until the end of August and other measures that are in there as related to business assistance. So again, the government has found some support in there. There are four provinces that aren't super happy with the throne speech: Manitoba, Ontario, Saskatchewan, and Quebec. They say the federal government's intruding in federal and provincial jurisdictions around health. Our own premier put out a fairly positive tweet about all of this. So lots of different perspectives on the throne speech. Again, I bet it passes and we don't have an election right now. I think the next big point of contention is going to be when there's an economic statement that begins to put dollar amounts down to some of these initiatives that the government's laid out.
Tim Powers, political commentator, managing director of Abacus Data. We do need to leave it there. Thank you very much for joining us on the VOCM Morning Show.
And you call me if you need any shoulder tips. Thrown it out a million times, Ben. Playing rugby. Got lots of
all right, I
tips
will.
For you.
Perfect. I'll come to you. I'll message you later.
All right. Take care. Thank you.